great pleasure to welcome our listeners to this program. Some of you may be in your homes, your automobiles, or elsewhere. We cordially greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And today we're bringing you a talk on the subject of being born again or the new birth. Our text is found in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. In this verse, Peter acknowledges that there are two births, and this agrees with Christ's words to Nicodemus in John 3:5, where he said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Christ said more about two births in John 3:6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. In other words, the natural birth that comes from Adam is a sinful, fleshly birth. It is for this world, while the spiritual birth that comes from Christ is holy and is for heaven. Paul said, "As in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Linked with Adam are sin and death, while in Christ we get righteousness and life. Our text says there are two seeds, corruptible and incorruptible. The corruptible comes from Adam and dies. The incorruptible comes from Christ and is eternal life. From the day a man is born, he goes on to die. When he dies, his body is put in the grave to corrupt and to go back to dust. Sooner or later, man must learn that the wage of sin is death, and after death, the judgment. He must leave earth because of sin, and to get to heaven, he must be born of the incorruptible seed and be made holy. We must be made holy to enter God's holy heaven. Nothing that defileth can possibly enter there. Thus, sinful man must be forgiven of all his sins and become a new creature through Christ, or there is no hope of his ever entering heaven. Heaven is a spiritual realm, not fleshly. God is a spirit, and angels who are in heaven are spirits. And man must be born again by a spiritual birth and must receive spiritual life before he could ever enter or live there. Peter says he must be born of incorruptible seed by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Paul speaks of the washing of water by the word. And this is the word, the water that's mentioned in John 3:5, when Christ said, "Born of water and of the Spirit." It does not say born of baptism in the Spirit. Baptism is a burial into death, not life. He said, "The words that I speak unto you are spirit and they are life." We get spiritual life by hearing God's word and by believing God. When Paul preached at Corinth, it says many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized, Acts 18:8. When Peter preached in Cornelius' house, it says, "While Peter yet spake, the Holy Ghost fell on all who heard the word. They were then commanded to be baptized because they had already received the Holy Ghost. Christ made disciples, then baptized them," John 4:1. There is no use bearing the old life in baptism unless we have a new life to walk in. The Bible tells of Christ being born of the Savior of the world. He had to suffer and die before he could save us. Thank God on the cross he could say, "It is finished." Then the third day he rose from the grave and 40 days later ascended into heaven, where he is now exalted to be a prince and a Savior. The Bible says there is salvation in no other. In the same chapter where it tells of being born of water and of the Spirit, John says, "To as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name," John 1:12. Verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Everlasting life is eternal life, coming through the incorruptible seed, the word of God. since Christ came to save sinners and on the cross said, "It is finished," we belittle him and his salvation. If we think salvation depends on man's good works or efforts or the doing of some other man who must baptize us to save us. The Bible says plainly there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. When the thief on the cross turned to Jesus and said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom," Jesus immediately said, "Today thou wilt be with me in paradise." That thief was Jesus' first convert. As he hung on that cross dying for his sins, he believed in Jesus, and so must we. There is salvation and no other. In the parable of the sower, Christ said, "The seed is the word of God." When that word concerning the Lord Jesus is received into one's heart, and he believes on Christ with his heart, Paul says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved." It is the word of God that liveth and abideth forever, which tells us of Christ's death for our sins, his burial, and his resurrection. That's what Christ did to save us. We must believe as individuals because the world has rejected him. God loved the world and gave his Son, but says to us, "Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Why? Because Christ perished, as it were, on the cross for us. Those who believe on him have everlasting life. That's what the new birth is, everlasting life, eternal life. In 1 John 5:13 it says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and this life is in the Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life," 1 John 5:12. It is through the written word of God. And when we believe what God says concerning his Son, that we have eternal life. It is through the word that we know that we have eternal life. God's word is sure. It is steadfast. Christ said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." And it is by the word that the gospel is preached to us. The word gospel means good news or glad tidings. It is God's good news telling us of Christ's sacrifice and death for our sins so that we can believe on him and have the highest authority, God himself, telling us that we shall never perish. My, what a glorious gospel. What a glorious salvation provided by God for us when he gave his Son, who became man, to die for our sins. And through it, we receive eternal life now and the assurance of being forever with the Lord. Thus, we see salvation is receiving the forgiveness of all of our sins, getting a new life, the very life of Christ himself. When we receive Christ into our hearts, we receive his life, and he is the eternal life. When Paul looked at the cross, he saw his sins forgiven. And he said, "Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things." Paul, as a Jew, was baptized to wash away his sins, the sins of his nation, or of that untoward generation in Acts 2:40. But he never baptized anyone else for the remission of sin. He says, "With faith comes by hearing," Acts 13:38. "Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things." Paul preached we are justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave all the credit to Christ and none to baptism. He said, "The Lord did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. And if any man preach any other gospel than I have preached, let him be accursed." Paul not only saw his sins nailed to the cross, but himself also. When he accepted Christ, Christ's death became his. He said, I am crucified with Christ. I died with him. Only Christians who have died with Christ can bury the old man in baptism. Paul said further on, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. When he met the Lord Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road and opened his heart to let Christ in, Christ became his new life. That's what it means to be born again. It means to get a new life. Oh, my friend, if you have not received this new life, open your heart to Christ. Tell him right now that you are a lost sinner and you want to believe on him, that your heart is open to receive him as your personal Savior, and those who receive him become the sons of God. Oh, may God grant that you'll trust him today. Don't put it off. Tomorrow may be too late. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Oh, we trust that none will bear the wrath. They don't need to. Jesus bore it on the cross. He suffered, bled, and died to pay the debt. And if we trust him, God says your sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Do trust him today. Get this new life. Shall we pray? Father, bless thy word. Bless every listener. And grant that many will open their hearts to Christ, that they'll get their Bibles down, perhaps read John 3:16, and believe thy holy word and receive thy Son, and know they have eternal life. We pray thy richest blessing upon all, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.